message that I had prepared for today 2 weeks ago will not be done. I'm going to talk about developing an intimacy with God, hearing the voice of God, understanding the voice of God, and being ready to hear what God is saying. Last night at prayer, I talked about how there were incidents where Jesus actually did remarkable miracles. The gentleman who brought the paraplegic, and when they lowered him down, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And they said, "How can anyone but God forgive sins? This is blasphemy." And Jesus did something he doesn't do very often. He actually explained something to them. He said to them that you may know that the Son of Man has power on this earth to forgive sins. I say to this man, rise up and walk. Now, often Jesus didn't do anything to accommodate them. But in this instance, he was trying to find something to impart to them, to find a common ground. But it fell on deaf ears. They were not impressed. They didn't want to hear it. And as a result, there was no breakthrough for them. And there were times when the disciples would hear or observe or participate in miracles that Jesus involved them with, and yet once it was over, there was no impartation of any depth of truth to them. They participated and forgot, and they did not see. And the Bible talks about how later on they just simply didn't understand. So I want to talk a little bit today about how we can understand, that we want to understand, because many times people will read the word, but it doesn't impact, doesn't go deeply in. It is simply a matter of words that are interesting or not, but have little to no impact. And so if we will start at Hosea chapter 10. We'll go to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. It is so important. One of the most important things I believe, and I have discovered over decades of being saved, is the preparation of the soil. How important it is to prepare the soil of our hearts, my heart, when I wish to communicate, when I wish to bond, and I want to hear the voice of God. That far too often we just quickly go to a portion of scripture, we read through it, say, isn't that wonderful, and we may or may not have gained much understanding, and we move on. Now, has that happened to anyone other than me here, where we read something and, yeah, it was good, sort of, I guess, but it didn't change my life, you know. That was, but I did what I was supposed to. I read my portion of scripture today. And what I'm talking about now is putting ourselves in a place where we can read the same portion of scripture and yet it's unfolded to us. We begin to understand. And God is able to impart revelation knowledge, which we may at that point in time absolutely need to have. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy." What does that mean? Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. It's pretty straightforward. Obey the word of God. God will bless you. Sow for yourselves. Righteousness is just appropriate actions according to the word. It's the next part. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is a critical verse for us. If we are going to hear the voice of God, if we are going to understand the truth of the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit is going to be able to impart any kind of revelation of God, this is a critical verse. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. Any thoughts on that? Okay. What is fallow ground?
Hard ground. Ground that was once fertile.
Okay.
Unpiled ground.
Unpiled. It's been left and it's become hard. It has been ignored and it has become hard. So why would he say to us, break up your fallow ground? Break up your fallow ground. What does it mean, though?
Get ready for
new season.
Work on your hardened heart.
A little louder.
Work on your hardened heart.
Work on your hardened heart. How do you know what part of your heart is hard? How do any of us know? Does anybody in here think they have a hard heart? Well, that's amazing, because I've talked to a number of people outside of our church. None of them think they have a hard heart. None. Not one person said to me that they thought they had a hard heart. Pretty amazing. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Now, why would he tell us to do that? What would be the benefit of that? Is it a painful thing to do? Why would he tell us to do that?
If you're going to plant a seed, you need the ground to be prepared for the seed just to be and so it can grow.
Okay. If you're going to plant seed, that's true.
Very hard to fellowship with the Lord if you've got bitterness, resentment, anger, whatever.
Now, would that be fallow ground?
Yes.
You're right.
Also, Pastor, I think sometimes when I've had trouble receiving from God what I need or what I'm asking about, I realize that it's because my heart is hard in that area. I think you can have a soft heart in some area, and like a field. Part of it may be plowed, another part of it may be not. But it was more of my condition of my heart was I discovered the reason why I wasn't receiving unbelief, perhaps.
Yeah, could be part. Yeah, could be part of it. Follow.
Or hearing something many times and then being
The danger of fallow ground is that we can hear exactly the word that we need to hear. Jesus himself could stand here and speak it. But if our ground is hard, we do not perceive the need of that word. You need it, and you need it, and maybe you need it, but I don't need it. I don't see the need for me to need it. Do you know what happens when it rains on fallow ground? Water rod just runs off. It runs off. Whose responsibility is it to break up the fallow ground? It's ours. God's not going to come and make you do it. He's not going to. And yet, it's critically important that we do that. That we take the time, for example, and this may not be a great example, but you're going to the prom. Okay, we're all 18 going to the prom. Everybody has a date, and it's the event of the year. Do you bother doing anything to get ready to go? Or do you just go, oh, 6 o'clock, you'll be here in a few minutes here. Give me something to put on, will you, please? What do we do? I have to ask you because I never went to mine. So.
I think it costs a lot to get ready.
Costs a lot to get ready? Okay.
You know, you do a lot of things that we, depending on your
environment. What do you do?
Prepare,
okay. How? What do you do?
3 months before.
Okay, but what do you do? But what do you do?
When you get ready.
Okay. Specifically, what do you do to get ready? You buy a dress, okay? Sorry?
Make your hair appointments.
Hair appointments? That's good, yes.
Book the limo.
Yeah, manicures, pedicures.
Good. You see how many things are involved, though?
Yes.
There's a lot of things that are involved in it. There are a lot of things that are involved. What do men do? Who went to a prom? Okay, who went to a prom in here? Gentlemen, which one went to a prom? Okay, you went to your prom? Okay, stand up and tell us what you'd have to do.
Well, you have to decide what kind of tux you want to wear.
Okay.
So what color you want to do. Some guys want to wear a white tux and be crazy. Others just wear a traditional black tux.
Mm-hmm.
You choose the cummerbund and the vest and the tie, the bow tie or the tie. And you rent it a couple months in advance so that it's ready on the night of your prom. And you pick it up, I think, the night before. And you wear it. Some people rent a limousine. Some people don't. You have to buy the corset for your date.
Okay.
And then you have to go. You have to pick up your date. You have to go. You make arrangements. You're 18, so maybe you'll have a car. Maybe you won't. So.
Shower.
Unless you're proud of the teen mustache that you might be growing at the time. So.
Now, what happens after the prom? When it's over, what happens?
He makes a tuxedo.
What? Well, I never went, so I'm asking you here. You know, what happens after? You go and eat and so forth. There are parties that happen after, no? Yes?
Yes.
So there's a lot of preparation. When you go to a prom or planning to go to a prom, it's just not something you kind of slap together 10 minutes before, is it?
No.
So when he's saying here, break up your fallow ground, there's a purpose and a goal for this. And the goal is, or the purpose, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. So you're breaking up your fallow ground for a specific purpose. What's the purpose? To connect with God. You want to connect with God at some level. Isn't that what it's saying there? Until, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. What does that mean? It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. What does that mean? Time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you.
Prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare yourself to learn and receive the word so that whatever comes out of it, you do with it, you're going to do better with the word.
Okay, someone else.
A pressing in to God?
Okay. For it is time to seek the Lord, pressing into God, until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. What's that mean? Until he comes to rain righteousness on you.
In the Message Bible, he says, until he arrives with righteousness ripe for harvest.
Okay.
Fruits.
Someone, what does it mean to you personally? Seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you.
Pastor John, I have written in from another teaching of yours about the word rains means teaches.
Ah, that's what it does. It means teaches, imparts. Yes. So, what does it mean then? You seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you.
He changes your heart. Because the heart that is prepared is able to put into the heart his thoughts, his character, his attitude, his holiness.
Okay. Let's bring it down to real life situations here, because this is really where it works. You're in a situation, it's a difficult situation. You don't know exactly what to do. In fact, you don't know what to do. There are things you could do, but each one has consequences, and some of them are potentially disastrous. So what you have decided to do is ask God. So you ask God, and you just didn't hear anything. Has that ever happened to anybody else? You ask God, and you just didn't hear a thing.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now what do?
Keep asking.
Well, that's true. However, you have to modify your strategy here. Like the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus, and she basically said, you know, I need help with my daughter, and he ignored her. Then she came and she worshipped him, and he called her a dog.
Perseverance.
Yeah, perseverance. But perseverance, you need perseverance, absolutely. Humility. And some wisdom, because if this isn't working, then we need to go here. If this is not working, we need to go here. We need to do the things that are going to bring the wisdom of God. And that's where you see the breaking up of the fallow ground. You need an answer, it hasn't come. Why hasn't the answer come? I don't know. I've been praying for something for a long time and the answer hasn't come. Does that bear witness anywhere here? Okay. That's why this scripture was written. It was written for us to understand that
We need, breaking up the fallow ground is really looking at the state of my heart. That's what it is, in an honest way. Because too often we're kind of like, there's nothing wrong with me. You know, I've been praying with God. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't beaten anybody to death and didn't steal anything. And we think, therefore, there's nothing wrong. But see, God looks from a different perspective. And He needs for us to take an honest assessment of our own hearts. And that's where we're going to come right back to the scripture momentarily. But the goal to get to is Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And it's talking about where the seed now is planted in the good soil. Because there's four types of soil. The good ground is that where they, having heard the word with a noble heart, and you'll have to look up noble because there's all kinds of things about what noble means. A good heart. And they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. So that's one aspect. That's just one aspect of what I'm talking about here. But what is equally or even more so important is Psalm 15, verses 1 to 4. And it's talking about someone who can come into the presence of God and stay in the presence of God. And it's saying this person must walk with integrity, behave righteously, speak the truth, does not backbite or criticize with his tongue, does no evil to a neighbor, does not receive critical comments about others, and keeps his word even if it hurts him. Wow. That's pretty strong. Psalm 24, who can approach God and stay near Him? Someone who has clean hands and a pure heart, and then kind of goes over the same kind of material that's in Psalm 15. It is, if we want to hear from the Lord more than just God loves you, in other words, you need something specific. You want something revelatory. You want something that is deep and meaningful. You want an answer to something in your life that is critically important to you. That's where this comes in. It requires a raw honesty before God, a willingness to break up the fallow ground, and it means take an honest assessment of my heart. And you don't go and ask someone who's afraid of you, you know, what do you think of me? Because they're not going to tell you the truth. They're not going to. Most people won't tell you the truth because they're afraid to. That's why this is a process of being willing to sit and listen before God. It takes hours, days, sometimes weeks for this to happen. But it's probably one of the most beneficial things you will ever do in your life. Because most people won't tell you the truth, you've got to hear from God. And that the reason they won't is that we don't really want to hear the truth. We don't. We want to hear only good, basically, or very mild things that are not good. But God will speak the truth to us, and He will say things to us that your attitude is terrible. Your attitude's full of pride. Your heart is full of unforgiveness. Yeah, but God, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. God will speak clearly and honestly. But it takes a time to break that up. And how exactly we do that? Where are we time-wise here? Well, we'll do that in another message, but it involves really laying your heart out before God. Just laying your heart out before God and waiting on God till we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. It takes time for that to happen. This is an investment, because typically we go to God and we say, Lord, blah, 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 but this is the answer I want. And when that's not the answer that's forthcoming, we have trouble with that. We have trouble. But if you ever want to get to the place where you know God's going to answer your prayers, this is the route. This is the route to get to where you can get to the place where you can actually talk to God about getting proper responses, because you have undertaken to do what He said. You break up your fallow ground. Break it up. Let the Holy Spirit identify the areas of your life that are out of sync with God. And you know what? We've all got them. Anyone who thinks they don't is already in trouble. We've all got them. We all do. Some more, some less, but we've all got them. And to the degree that we don't do this on a somewhat regular basis, they have multiplied. They have multiplied. So it is a breaking up of the fallow ground while we are seeking the Holy Spirit's presence and intervention. And then when it says He comes, rains righteousness on us, what the rains are talking about, He comes and He imparts, He teaches right attitudes, right behavior. He is coming to teach us. If you're breaking up your fallow ground before God, the Holy Spirit will come along and He will teach you in a very gracious manner, by the way. Very gracious. The Holy Spirit does not come and beat your brains out. He will come and He will teach in a very gracious manner the changes that have to come. The changes that have to come. Now, let me say to you that the majority of Christians never do this because it is painful. It is. But if you want to live close to the heart of God, if you have a desire to hear accurately the Spirit of God, you have to do this. You have to do this. Because in order for the Word, in order for a revelation, in order for something from the Holy Spirit, and I talk about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how you know the Holy Spirit will take the wisdom and knowledge of God and impart it to us. We're all pretty familiar with that. In order for that to happen with any degree of accuracy and depth, the soil's got to be prepared. The soil must be prepared. Because if we don't prepare the soil, then we could have Jesus Himself talking to us. And it wouldn't penetrate. Because we're protecting our turf. We're protecting our perspective. We are protecting our point of view. We are unwilling to say, I'm wrong. When's the last time you said to somebody, I'm wrong and I'm really sorry? When's the last time you did that? Think about it. The last time you said to somebody, this is my fault, now, other than God, we can get to God, think that we can get by that one pretty easy. God, I'm sorry, oh good, He accepts that. But it's humbling to go before someone and say, I said or I did something wrong to you, and I apologize and repent for that. See, that's the preparation of the soul. Now, some people think they never say anything wrong. And these folks are the ones who can't hear God at all. We want to hear God. We want to hear God. We want to hear God. And the Bible talks about in Isaiah, but this is the one God looks on. Who's that? Who's the one God looks on? Sir? Too many ones.
Humble spirit.
Humble, yep. And who trembles at my word? That's what he's. There's no substitute for these things. There's none, and nobody's going to make us do it. It's strictly a choice in our own hearts if we're willing to humble ourselves. If we're willing to humble ourselves, but if everything bad that happens to me is your fault, Can you see where that's not going to go too far? It's not. Breaking up our fallow ground is having an honest assessment of the things in our own hearts. An honest assessment. Why am I like this? Why can't I say I'm sorry? You'd be amazed how many people can't say it. Absolutely amazed how many Christians cannot say, it was my fault, I'm sorry. They just can't. And it's a block for them. It's a block in their relationship with God. It's a block. So that the good seed, that's in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it doesn't find the kind of soil it needs to root in. And it takes time for it to root in. It takes time for the supernatural grace that is in that seed to be released. You look at the great writers, Andrew Murray and some of the others, their books are filled with humility, just filled with humility. Filled. Because they have brought themselves to a place of humility before God. Now that's part of it. The other is that in Jeremiah, I think it's 29, verse 13, or somewhere in there, God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. So Jesus, what God is communicating to us there is, I don't want to have a superficial relationship with you. I want to have a deep, meaningful relationship with you. And I've got things to tell you. I got things that you really need to know. You need to know. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, God shows his secrets with the people who meet the criteria. So he's got things to tell us, and we need to hear what he has to say. We need to hear it. Sometimes we desperately need to hear it. But I've been at the place myself when I can hear God remarkably well. I mean, just there were times when it was so clear. He might as well have said it out loud. It was that clear to me. And sometimes that was life and death for some people. But I've had other times when I can't hear God at all. I'm just being honest with you here. I can't hear God at all. And it always comes down to bad attitude. You know, B.A. on the team. Anybody, what's the name of the show? A-team. B.A. on the A-team. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. And until the source of that bad attitude gets dealt with. And it doesn't take 20 years. There was something that happened a few years ago. I won't tell you what it was, but I was having a bad day. And things were just not going well at all. And it was the day that you had your little one. And we got a call to go to the hospital. And I literally said to God, oh God, no, please, not today. Just not today. Not today. I was annoyed with God. I was annoyed with you. And I thought, not today. But it is today. What are you going to do? So you go to God and you repent. You say to him, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. My attitude's wrong. My behavior's wrong. My thinking was wrong. I just got to be sincere. You understand? You know, God's not stupid. It's got to be sincere. Now, I believe God in his mercy and grace takes into account, okay, you don't have 6 days to do this in. You have to go to the hospital now. But you better mean what you say. You better mean. You better follow through with what you say and the changes that you're going to make in your attitude. That was very clear to me. So I did. And I did follow through, by the way. I did. But we went, and God did wonderful things. I mean, he just really answered our prayers, for which we're very grateful. Very grateful. And that's why it's really important to keep the lines flowing. You know, that's not the way you want to do business with God. You know what I mean? You don't want to be doing business with God from a negative perspective. It's much easier to be able to talk to God when the lines are open, when the communication is clear. And so this breaking up of the fallow ground is really something that should be... You know how on your computer you have something that comes up every few days and says it's time to da-da-da-da-da? Well, that's really what we need to do, is that we need to have an internal computer that tells us we need to check things out with God today. How am I doing, Lord? How am I doing? What's going on inside my heart? And to do it honestly with God. Because if you don't do it honestly, you're wasting your time. You don't fool God. Nobody fools God. Nobody. Nobody ever fools God. No one can, you know, BS the Lord. You just can't. He knows everything about everything at all times. And humility is one of the most important characteristics that you can ever acquire. You cannot have too much humility in the sight of God. And respect for his word. Respect for God's word is not only essential, it's mandatory. It's mandatory to have ultimate respect for the word of God. God is looking for us to have that. But if we'll do that, and we will prepare our hearts. And in fact, you know, this is a good thing to be doing ongoingly just when you're reading your Bible, because what it will do for us is it will open up avenues to hear revelations that we won't get otherwise. Well, the Holy Spirit will just speak to us and we'll start to see things that we didn't see before. God wants to impart these things to us, but he wants to impart them to us when we have an attitude of reverence, of respect, of obedience, of giving ourselves to God. And there's no limit to what he can do for us. And when you are in a critical situation and you have to hear God and you need God to do a miracle, you'll be so happy, so grateful that you did this before. You know, I said to someone recently, the time to be doing this is not in the crisis. It's like you don't want to be learning how your gun works when they're shooting bullets at you. You want to know this beforehand. We want to know the lines are clear with God, that they're clear, and that we can hear the voice of God. And I assure you that when you sit down with the Lord and you say, okay, is everything okay with us? Have I done anything at all, Lord, that has grieved your Holy Spirit? I never have to ask him twice. Never. If there's something there, and there, to be honest, there isn't always something there, but more often probably than it should be. He tells me right away. Tells me right away. Because I deal with it. Now, if I didn't deal with it, he'd stop telling me. He'd stop telling me. I've got to be honest and say, I don't deal with everything immediately, instantly, to the best it could be, but I work on it. I work on it. Because I've learned it doesn't go away. It does not go away. And it will impede God's ability to do things in your life. Now, we don't want that. Especially these days, we don't want that. There's something about having the confidence to know things between God and I are so good that I can pray for something that has to happen, and I don't have to worry about him coming to me and saying, well, yeah, but what about this first, and what about that, and what about that? Because this and this and that was already dealt with. You understand what I'm getting at here? I believe that this will really, really help us. It will help us. And the ultimate thing is that we're here for God. You're here for God. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here just to accumulate whatever we can. We are here. God made us. God created us. And I absolutely assure you, on your deathbed, you won't be thinking about, you know, did I get that project done? You know, what about this one? You'll be thinking about your life, your family, and God. That's what will be there. And that's what's most important. Most important. God loves us. God loves us. And he wants to bless us. He wants to. He wants to. But in order for that to happen, we've got to cooperate. You know, if you have a little kid and then the little guy's going around smacking everybody and kicking people in the shins and stomping on their feet, you can't take him to the Dairy Queen and buy him an ice cream. You can't. Why not? Exactly. And you see, when we think God doesn't mind if we do that, then we just keep doing it. That's why it's important to examine yourself. The Bible says, if you will judge yourself, you won't be judged. Well, hallelujah. Believe me, you want to judge yourself. You want to judge yourself. That just means that when the behavior is identified or whatever it is identified, you just simply say, yeah, amen, you're right, I'm wrong, shouldn't have done that, I repent, I won't do it anymore. That's a lot easier than having to deal with the judgment that may come as a result. Amen? Okay. Any questions?
What's your thoughts on false humility?